I don't see, we will not be hearing 3322 or Senate Bill 252B today. They will probably be postponed till Monday, possibly Wednesday.
Yeah, Mondays would be postponed.
Okay, till Monday. We will hear the amendments. So I'll open a work session. I'll open a work session on Senate Bill 285. Lisa, you want to come forward?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Lisa Trussell with Associated Oregon Industries, and we're here today in support of the amendments to 285, the -1 amendments. And those amendments will do two things. They will clarify the time limit that a carrier has to decide to appeal a notice of closure, and they will also coordinate the reconsideration so that there's one reconsideration and the worker has their timeline still to request reconsideration before the it will actually occur. And we ask that the -1 amendments be adopted into Senate Bill 285 and then it be passed to the floor. Thank you.
Committee, we have okay. We will be closing the work session on 285, unless there's any comments. We'll be closing the work session on Senate Bill 285 at this time. I will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 749. Call forward Tim Crawl. Crail. At the same time. And also Todd Henley. Oops.
Thank you, Representative Pitts, members of the committee. My name is Tim Crawl, and I'm director of the Oregon Rehabilitation Association. We're a nonprofit trade association that represents nonprofits who serve people with disabilities throughout the state. Many of all of you have members of ours in your districts: Reach, Albertina Kerr, St. Vincent de Paul, Edwards Center, and a number of others. Thank you for hearing our bill. We were a little worried that we might not make it in time, but we're pleased that you're hearing it. Essentially, this bill is a housekeeping fix from our perspective. Since 1969, rehabilitation organizations who are nonprofits and provided vocational supports received 3/4 of their workers' comp costs back in the form of a refund, because when they employed people with severe disabilities, they found they were often paying more in workers' compensation costs than they were paying in wages to people whose productivity was 10%, 15%, 20%. That was the logic for the bill in 1969. Our association helped get it passed then. Over the years, that refund has grown to about $4 million a year. The workers' compensation board, the Management Labor Advisory Committee, began addressing all of the payments out of the workers' reemployment reserve 5 years ago and determined that while our program was a good program and met social needs, it did not fall strictly within the requirements for refund from the reemployment assistance reserve. That is, it didn't deal specifically with workers' comp people. These were people who had severe disabilities, but they weren't handicapped as a result of job injuries, and they determined that that program should be ended. However, to give us a glide path, they allowed us $9 million to be transferred to the Department of Human Services to give us a 4-year glide path, because our organizations had received this refund for 30 years plus, and it was built into there. It's a 1 or 2% difference in their overall gross revenue, and most nonprofits live on a 1 or 2% margin. They also charged us, along with Department of Human Services, Department of Administrative Services, Legislative Fiscal, to create a committee and address a long-term resolution to how nonprofits could lower their costs and workers' compensation. The only solution we could come up with was a self-insured nonprofit, which took $1 million grant to start. They granted $1 million. However, in the Senate Bill 288 that was passed 4 years ago, they required a committee to make the recommendation. In the when the Secretary of State said to transfer that $1 million, you need another bill, we weren't ready. We didn't expect that. So it took a bill during the special session last year, the second special session in February, to transfer that $1 million. And in that transfer, the Secretary of State restricted eligibility to be in the self-insurance pool only to the original 70 nonprofits who had received that refund. The committee's goal was to make that eligibility to all nonprofits that serve DHS clients, because we all face the problem, as does the rest of any industry, controlling costs in workers' compensation. This bill would correct that error. It simply changes the eligibility to be a part of the nonprofit employment trust from only the original 70 nonprofits who got the refund to all nonprofits who serve Department of Human Services clients. With me is Todd Henley, who is part of Empire Pacific, the administrators of the trust. They have been operating for over a year successfully. Allowing this increase in eligibility will increase the pool of participating providers and make it a safer pool and more economic pool for everyone in the nonprofit arena that serves Department of Human Services clients. I'll be happy to answer questions and turn it over to Todd. The bill passed the Senate unanimously, 28-0 with two excused absences, and we're hoping that we get a positive response from your committee.
Thank you. Welcome, Todd.
I'm here to answer any questions that you might have with regards to. My name is Todd, and I live in Empire Pacific.
Correct. I believe Representative Merkley has questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Could you tell us why is self-insurance end up being so much less expensive than purchasing insurance, since the underlying risks, if you will, are the same?
Representative Merkley, essentially, from my perspective, it's just fewer middlemen. We don't employ the self-insurance company has an administrator, but the profits from the company return to the participants. So money earned on interest for reserves set aside for potential claims, far fewer salespeople, mid-level people involved in the company. Those profits go back to the participants, and to protect themselves from catastrophic losses, they buy reinsurance. So in essence, they simply control the profits and they return to them.
I can follow up.
Please.
Couple questions. How much less expensive does it end up being in percentage terms, and are the benefits the same as the workers would have had otherwise?
I would defer to Todd on that. I know what we had projected when we built this, but I defer to him now that it's been in operation.
Regarding question surrounding the benefits that are provided. The benefits that are provided by a self-insured group are exactly the same as that you would receive from any admitted insurance carrier here in the state. We pay the same type of taxes, benefit from the same programs that insurers benefit from. So insofar as the services that are provided are identical to what an insurance company would provide. With regards to how do we operate, the program is pretty much what you would consider a homogeneous group, in that it focuses in on a specific industry. Therefore, the claims people that work with the organizations are keyed into those people that have disabilities and those that serve those that have disabilities. issues such as transportation and special needs. Loss prevention, there are special seminars that are provided, special education, special loss prevention that's focused in specifically on this industry. So the goal is really twofold. First of all is to prevent losses from happening in the first place, which reduces frequency. Hand in hand with the reduction in frequency of claims is a reduction in severity. To let you know what are the cost differences, that is something that is measured over time, quite candidly. A self-insured group operates very much like a mutual insurance company, though, you know, people may argue differently. We buy excess coverage, a stop loss, both on a specific claim and on an aggregate. The benefits are seen over a period of time. And you would be able to better retrospectively answer that question 5 or 6 years down the line than you could after just exactly 1 year's worth of operation.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd. Are there any other questions? Seeing none, thank you.
Thank you.
I see we have the distinguished senator. Senator Carter, do you wish to testify?
Good morning, Representative Kitts and Mr. Chairman and other members of the committee. Before I testify, I'd just like to welcome my friend Carrie Timchuk from Senator Gordon Smith's office.
Thank you. Carrie, do you wish to testify on this bill?
Listen to Margaret.
Okay. We all are.
I want to thank you very much for your consideration of Senate Bill 749, of which I am the chief sponsor. For the record, my name again is Margaret Carter, and I serve as a state senator from District 22, North Northeast Portland. Senate Bill 749 is part of a process that began 5 years ago to allow all nonprofit organizations that serve needy clients of the State Department of Human Resources, Human Services, excuse me, to apply for membership in Oregon Nonprofit Employers Trust, a nonprofit self-insured workers' compensation entry formed with a $1.1 million grant from a prior legislative session. As all of you may know, we are in tough times, and if we can help to cut costs and to encourage cooperation by creating mechanisms to assist the delivery of needy services to the needy by and through nonprofit helpful organizations, I believe we should do so. Mr. Chairman, I just completed a 2.5-year stint as president and CEO of a nonprofit organization, and I'm here to tell you that the workers that work in nonprofit organizations without insurance have real serious problems trying to financially manage their health services. And I personally have seen the other side of this, in addition to having been working on this bill when I was a member of the House as well, to know the condition of nonprofits who cannot afford insurance for their people. The Oregon Rehabilitation Association has worked very hard to support individuals, to give dignity into their lives, and to help organizations in our local communities, such as the Catholic Community Service, Albertina Kerr, the Coos Curry Transitional House, Pearl Buck Center, St. Vincent de Paul Rehabilitation Services, Umpqua Homes for the Handicapped, Tualatin Valley Workshop. And as you can see, it's a statewide approach, and I don't think any of us can go wrong in being able to help people in nonprofit organizations to be able to help insurance. Now, there are many others in addition to these. These are just a few that I wanted to make sure that all of you as members of this committee know that this is not just a Portland issue. This is a statewide issue that we are trying to address here. This bill is worthy of your consideration. It passed the Senate 28-0 with no opposition, two excused. May I note to you our very own Senator Courtney and Senator Kate Brown, both Democratic leaders. And I hope it will meet with your positive approval and consent of the House. We need this bill. I really want to encourage you to pass this bill out, and if there are other questions, we can bring the technicians back up here to walk you through it if you need that to happen. But I hope that you will let this bill happen and know that from personal experiences that there are people out there who do need insurance coverage.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Appreciate your testimony, and I think that the co-sponsors of the bill are a testament to the bipartisan and broad geographical spectrum of our state that's represented. So thank you. Are there any questions? Seeing none, thank you. I will at this time close the public hearing on Senate Bill 749. And seeing nothing else for the good of the committee at this time, anything else? Adjournment. Thank you.
Hey, good job.